If you will, open up with me to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. We've been on a series, and we've had a break. How many of you enjoyed Desi last week? Yes, last Sunday morning. He did fantastic, right? He come in, and I was going to preach this sermon last Sunday morning, and he come in. We had the opportunity to get him to preach. So we took a break from the series, but if you'll think back with me, we've talked about our relationship with God, our relationship to the church, our relationship to Jesus, our relationship to our family, and so on. And this morning, I'm going to preach about our relationship to the world. Our relationship to the world. So if you'll open up with me to 2 Corinthians, most of you are already there, chapter 4, verse 4. It says, Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. Now, I'm not going to do it this morning. I changed my mind, but I had a blindfold here, and I was going to have one of these students stand up, and I was going to blindfold them, and I was going to tell them to walk to a certain point in the sanctuary. And if you're with me, you know what would have happened. They probably would not have been able to make it there. Okay? And so many times, we as Christians, I've been there. I've flipped on the news myself. I've got people that are in my family that are unbelievers. I've got friends that I worked with, not here. Got friends that I worked with that are not believers. And sometimes I can become so frustrated with them. But then at the same time, I think back to when I was not a believer. And we read right here in the Word that says that the god of this world, Satan, god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. He's blinded where they can't see the gospel. You know, it's so easy for us to sit in church, and this may sound a little harsh, but it's so easy for us to sit in church and look to the outside world and judge. But so many of them don't know Christ. What do we expect? They've been blinded. They don't know Jesus like I do. They don't have that relationship with Jesus like I do. You see, the true issue, if we're going to look to the problems, is us. Because our eyes have been opened. You see, we know Jesus. Therefore, when we know the power of His blood, when we know the power of His grace, our lives ought to be different. Amen? We ought to be praying and loving for the people that are outside of the church that don't believe. They've been blinded. And we read in here in 2 Corinthians, it says, Satan, who is the god of the world, I'm going to read it again, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. But if we look in John, flip to John with me, John chapter 8, verse 12. Jesus spoke to the people once more, and he said, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness, because you will have the light that leads to life. Amen. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in the darkness, because you will have the light that leads to life. Now, if you do a study here, if you study in here to John chapter 8, what you'll find is that we believe, scholars believe, that at this point, Jesus, here in chapter 8, was at the festival of the tabernacles. It was that time. And on the evening of the first day of the festival of the tabernacles, there was a ceremony. And this ceremony was called the illumination of the temple. Now, stick with me. See, Jesus was the greatest teacher of all time. And Jesus was perfect at using his surroundings, using the things that were going on to hammer home his point. And at this point, here on the evening of the Feast of the Tabernacles, they did this ceremony, and it was called the illumination of the temple. And Jesus would stay in this temple, in the court, they would bring these candles, these big candles. They had four or five of them that branched off into different arms. And they set them there in the middle of the court, and when it became dark outside, they lit these candles. And at that point, it illuminated the temple, and it was so bright that it would even illuminate most of Jerusalem. And at that time, when that would happen, the holy men of the city, would praise God and dance for God and be in the streets at dark, praising God until the sun rose the next morning. So when we read this, we know now that probably what Jesus was doing, because he was the greatest teacher of all time, is he was standing there with this as his background. And he's standing there talking to these people, and he says, you see how these candles, you see how we're standing here, we see how it was dark, and these candles lit up everything that surrounded around. Now you can see what's going on. You can see the path. You can see these men. You see what's going on. He says, but in the same way, I am the light of the world. He says, in the same way that y'all see this being lit up, that you see this temple being lit up, that you see this city being lit up, I have and I am, Jesus is saying this, I have and I am a much greater light. Because my light allows you to follow me throughout the darkness. And the world is dark, but he's given us the light so that we can follow him. Now, I want to look back here at verse 12 again. It says, Jesus spoke to the people once more and said, I am the light of the world. And he said, if you follow me, you won't have to walk in the darkness. Now, if you go back and you study the text and you look at this in the Greek, where it says, if you follow me here, I'm not going to even attempt to pronounce that word, okay? But if you listen, if you go back into the Greek and you find that word, what it meant was to become a follower. It didn't mean if you just follow me today. What Jesus was saying was, if you become a follower, if you continually follow me, if you continue to come after me, if you continue to chase me, if you become a follower of me, you will have the light in this world. Become a follower. Continue to follow. And the same Greek word that was used for this was also used back in that time to represent soldiers who were following their captain. Soldiers who were following their captain. Soldiers who would follow their captain in the battle. Soldiers who would follow their captain into the darkest of no matter how dangerous it was, no matter if they knew they were going to lose their life, no matter if they knew that none of them would come out alive, they were still going to follow their captain. And the same word in the Greek that represented that is the word that represents here. When Jesus says, if you follow me, if you follow me, I will lead you through the darkness. Because I am the light of the world. You see, these soldiers that followed their captain, they had to have some kind of great allegiance to that captain. To be willing to follow him no matter where he went. And it's the same thing for us. You see, have allegiance to our captain. And our captain must be Jesus. Because we are living in such dark world. We are living in such an evil world that if our captain is not Jesus and we are not pledged to him 100% and we're not willing to follow him into the darkness, we're going to be in trouble. You see, Jesus in the same chapter talking to the same people goes on to talk in verse 31 and 32, and this is what he says. He said to the people who believed in him. So notice that's important. Jesus is saying this to the people who believed in him. He says, you are truly my disciples. Remain faithful to my teaching. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So we look back when Jesus was talking. He said, if you're going to follow me, then you can follow me into the light. And the word he was using, the word he meant was, if you continually follow me, if you get in after me and you chase, like a soldier following his captain. Continually, no matter what. And then he goes on and he says, if you're faithful and you remain faithful to my teaching, you are my disciples if you remain faithful to my teaching. You see, we were talking about marriage. It's amazing. We've got two couples here that's been married for 50 years. I know Charlie Ray, Martha Jane, how long have you guys been married? 65? Yes, I think so. So I think I got that right. I hope so. So around 65 years. And we were talking. Me and Jennifer were talking to another couple this week, and they said something that stuck with me. They said, you know, life is busy. The world is busy. There's so many things going on all over the place. The way that you keep your fire in a marriage is to make sure you make time for your spouse. Right? to make sure you make time, no matter how busy life gets, no matter what's going on, make sure you make time for your spouse. It's the same thing in our relationship with Jesus. We live in a dark world. We live in a world where we run to and fro quickly. We're constantly going. We've constantly got things going on. If we are going to be completely and have total allegiance to our captain, we must be willing to give him time. We must be willing to chase him. We must remain faithful. And see, we talk about, Jesus says here, remaining faithful. Jesus says repeatedly throughout the Gospels, and he says in the Revelations to the churches, to the seven churches, he repeatedly says, those who endure till the end. He says, those who endure to the end will be saved. And so I think about the relationship I have with Jennifer. I think about how no matter how busy life gets, no matter how hard life gets, no matter what we're going through, if we're going through health problems, if we're going through whatever's going on, we must make time for each other. We must keep our allegiance. But you see, here in this world and our relationship with Jesus Christ, there's something else that's working hard against us. And there's something else that's trying its best to cause us to commit spiritual adultery. And it's so imperative this morning, it's so important this morning that we understand this. Flip with me, if you've got your Bibles, to 1 John. I'm going to flip around a good bit. To 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. Please hear this morning. It says, do not love this world, nor the things it offers you. For when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. For the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see, and pride in our achievements and possessions. These are not from the Father, but are from this world. And this world is fading away along with everything that people crave. But anyone who does what pleases God will live forever. We are living in a dark world that's fighting for our allegiance and love. We are fighting, we are living in a dark world that's fighting for our time, that's fighting for our commitment, that's fighting for our faithfulness, that's fighting for our allegiance, fighting against us. 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 says, this is Paul writing to Timothy, and notice what he says. He says, you should know this, Timothy, that in the last days there will be very difficult times. Now, I want you to stick with me for a second, because we've all heard this verse. So stick with me. He's writing to Timothy, and he says, in the last day, there are going to be very difficult times. Now, this is Paul. Okay, let's think back to Paul here for a second. Paul took 39 stripes on 5 different occasions. Paul was beaten with rods 3 separate times. Paul was in a shipwreck. Paul was stoned and survived. Paul was put in prison for 5 years. He faced all kinds of hostility, all kinds of persecution. But Paul writes, in the last days, there's going to be tough times. How can a man that went through that say, oh, you think this is tough? In the last days, times are going to be tougher. But you see, when we go on to read, he doesn't go on to say, Pastor Mark, that in the last days, oh, you're going to face such persecution that this holds nothing against it. This is what he goes on to write. He says, people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others. They will have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. They will betray their friends. They will be reckless. They will be puffed up with pride. And they will love pleasure rather than love God. Wow. You see, what Paul is telling Timothy here is, in the last days, it's going to be hard to be a Christian. These times could have also described exactly the times that Paul was living in. I believe it was Peter that stood up and said, turn, this wicked generation needs to turn. He was talking about his own generation. And now Paul is writing and saying, in the last times, it's going to be hard. There are going to be tough times because of everything that we just listed, everything that Paul just wrote. But he's not done. This is the one that hits home. Verse 5 says, they will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. We'll get a whole lot of amens on that one. Verse 5, I'm going to read it again. They will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. Sure, they act religious. Sure, they will go to church. Sure, they will give that image. But did you read everything Paul said? He said, but they will reject the truth of the gospel. They will reject the teaching. You see, this is strong, so I need you to hear me. Make sure you hear all of this. Last weekend, after talking to Desi, we talked about missionaries and what's going on in foreign countries. And if you were here on Sunday night, I spoke and I said that it has been wearing on me ever since I had that conversation with Desi. It's like the Holy Spirit spoke something to me. I am fearful for the church in America. Because you see, all over the world, people are having to fight for their lives to love Jesus. But here, we become so comfortable with getting up and going to church on Sunday morning, with getting up and going to church on Sunday night, with getting up and going to get an hour on Wednesday night. We get so comfortable in our life. We wonder why I have friends and family that are missionaries, and I hear these miracles that are going on all over the world. Let me tell you something. We still serve a God that can raise people up. Okay? There's miracles going on in other countries that I know people that have seen firsthand. People wheeled down to the altar with no movement, no muscles in their legs because they haven't walked in 30 years, and they get hands laid on them and they stand up jumping and shouting. You see, the Holy Spirit is empowering them because they have such a fire for God. They are pursuing Him at such a high level because they have to. Man, they got to be all in. They are like the soldier that's following the captain. They've got to be willing to follow Jesus into death. Over here, our idea of being persecuted is being blasted on Facebook. Am I right? That's the worst thing that could happen to me. That's our idea of persecution. Over there, they're fighting for their lives. Now, I don't want to get off on that this morning. But this is what I'm telling you. We're talking about Paul. I was talking about what Paul said, that in the last days people will act religious, but they will deny the power to make them holy. Now listen, and hear me out, please. We live in a nation, we live in a society, we live in the church time 2017 where people are gripping on to the grace and the blood of Jesus Christ. Okay? That is awesome. There is nothing in this world that's better to grip onto than the grace and the blood of Jesus Christ. But while we're gripping onto that grace and that blood of Jesus Christ, so many Christians are denying and rejecting the ability of that grace and blood to totally change their lives, to totally change who they are. We grip onto the grace. Oh man, God's grace has got me covered. I can live any way I want to. That's not what's supposed to happen. The grace and the blood of Jesus is supposed to come and change us. We're supposed to be changed. We're supposed to be new creations. Gripping on to the blood and the grace of Jesus is the greatest thing you can grip on to, but allow it to change you. It's like Paul wrote, in the last days people will be religious, but they will deny the power to make them holy. We accept that grace, but are we allowing the grace to change who we are? Jesus said multiple times, those who endure till the end will be saved. Now listen to me. I'm getting to a point, so listen, please. I coach football. Tyler's in here. He coached football. I know, yeah. He may be at a bigger school than me, but I bet he can relate to what I'm about to tell you. When I coached football at Fordyce, it was in Fordyce, Arkansas, it was a 3A football. It was a football crazy town, birthplace of Paul Bear Bryant. And every year we would work year round for the football season. We would work year round to win a state championship. Our guys would come on Sunday, on during the summers, on weekends, whatever they had to do, and work like crazy to get to their goal. But then, after a certain amount of time of putting in that hard work and all that sweat and all that blood and all that tears, they would get to around November, and the playoffs would come around, and then all of a sudden, it's basketball season. And most of our better football players and better athletes also played basketball. And it was so hard to keep their focus and their energy on what they've been working for so long, which was football. But see, when we work and things are so hard and we keep pushing and we keep grinding and we keep doing the things that we need to do, it is so easy to become worn down. And when you become worn down, we begin to compromise. We could always tell you when we were going to lose in the playoffs the week before. Because we could see our guys in practice beginning to think about that basketball dribbling and that couple weeks off and getting in that air-conditioned gym and not being quite as rough. We could always tell because they began to compromise. All of a sudden in their minds, they were willing to compromise and they were willing to give up all that hard work they've had just so they could get a little rest. That's began to sound good. Now, what am I telling you that for today? You see, Jesus, like we just said, repeatedly said that those who endure till the end will be saved. You know what the opposite of endure is? To quit. To give up. Do you know how you give up in your Christian walk? You compromise. You compromise. You see, when I'm fighting for something and I quit and I give up, what I'm doing is I'm compromising. I'm beginning to tell myself that whatever I'm fighting for might not be worth it. That, man, I am so tired. I am so beat down. I am so worn down. And what I am going through and what I am fighting and what the way I'm pushing and giving it my all, maybe it's not worth it. Sure, we live in a tough world. Temptations are hard. Times are hard. But when we compromise for the lust of the world and we compromise for the pleasure and the desires of the world, we've quit. We've stopped fighting. Jared, come here. Jared, where's Jared at? Come here. I know we're running a little slack on time, but please stick with me. Jared here, come over here and stand right here. Jared here is going to represent the Christian. I'm sorry, man. He's going to represent the world. You see, when you're walking as a Christian, go ahead and start to push on him. Begin to push on him. Walk. Push on him. You push on him. Fight him. You see, the Christian is walking. The Christian is going. And the world's doing everything you can. And when you begin to get tired, listen to me, stick with me, keep going. When you begin to get tired and you get slack and we're tired of all this battle and we're tired of everything we're going through, the world's getting tough, I got a bad doctor's appointment, all of a sudden we quit. And then, listen to me, all of a sudden to the world, we look like we're facing the same direction. But when we compromise, we begin to lose. You can sit down. In your Christian walk, the only way that we lose is to quit. Because the blood has provided the victory. The only way that we lose is to quit. And the only way that we quit is to compromise. 1 John chapter 2, verse 6 says that if you are going to be in Jesus Christ, you must walk as Jesus did. It didn't give an option. It says if you're going to live in Jesus, you must walk as Jesus did. You must pledge your allegiance to the captain. You must be faithful to his teachings. You must walk as he did. And how did Jesus walk? He walked in victory. He did not fold to the lust and the desires of the world. He did not let those lusts and those desires rule over him. He was Jesus. I know. I know what you're thinking. Oh, he was perfect. Yeah, he was. And I'm not. and I cannot live without sin. Because I fall and I mess up. But let me tell you, when I fall and mess up, I hadn't lost. You hear me? If you fail, if you're saved and you're born again and you've fallen and you've messed up and the enemy's trying to convince you that it's over and you've lost, he's a liar. You have not lost. The only way we lose is when we quit fighting. But you see, in the world we live in, it is so dark. It is so evil. It is so hard. It is so many things are going on that we can look up before we know it and we've compromised. When we fall, we haven't lost the battle. It's only when we give up the fight. So many Christians today have compromised to the world and given up. Listen to this right here. This is for somebody. Life's troubles, life's hardships, life's temptation, this world's lust, this world's desires. There's somebody in here, it's wearing on you. You're fighting the fight, but you're becoming so weary. You're chasing after Jesus. You're pushing against the world. You're doing everything you can, but you're becoming so weary with the race. And the enemy's trying to convince you to just compromise. Give up. It's 2017. Things are different now. That's old school. I'm going to go ahead and tell you something. My God is still the same today as He was when He said all this. The only thing that's changed is us. Maybe you feel yourself beginning to lose your devotion. Maybe you feel yourself beginning to lose that fire. You begin to feel the temptation to compromise, to commit spiritual adultery. I want to read this to you. And I am closing. Romans chapter 6, verses 12 through 14. Hear this, because I'm going to read two passages. Hear this. Romans chapter 6, verses 12 through 14. It says, do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to its desires. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourselves completely to God, for you were dead, but now you have new life. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. And you may say, Pastor Dustin, I get that, man. I've heard that for so long. I am fighting the fight. What I'm telling you is that I'm becoming weary. That the enemy's working on me. The world is working on me. I am so tired. I am so fatigued. I am trying to fight the good fight. I am trying to run the race. But it's becoming harder and harder. We've got to remind ourselves in Romans chapter 5, verse 17. For the sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and His gift of righteousness for all who receive it will live in triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ. He says, you will live in triumph. You will live in triumph. That's what we talked about a while ago. There's nothing better than gripping onto the grace and the blood of Jesus. But I'm going to tell you, that same grace and blood wants to change you. It wants to make you victorious. Life is not meant to overcome us. It's not meant to defeat us. We can triumph. We can live victorious over the world. I'm not talking about getting rich. I'm not talking about living victorious over the people of the world. I'm talking about living victorious over the darkness of the world. It does not have to press us and crush us from every side. So what's our relationship to the world? Can I go ahead and say this, and I hope I don't make anybody upset. I hate participation trophies. I hate them. Either you win or you lose. I don't care if you're 4. I don't care if you're 5. You know, that's one of the reasons why there's so many protests over the presidential election, because people don't know how to lose. But here's the good news. What is my relationship to the world? I'm a victor. I live in victory. I'm triumphant. Why? Not because of me, but because of Jesus. Because He has changed me. Because His blood and His grace, not only can I grip onto it when I mess up and say, oh, I know, Lord, I'm so thankful that Your grace changes who I am, that Your grace has got me covered, but I can grip that blood and know that it has the power to change my desires, to change who I am, to help me live triumphantly. So what's my relationship to the world? I'm a winner. The world and the enemy is the loser. So at this time, I want you to, this is a little bit different than what I normally do, but I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes, and I want you to listen. Maybe you're in here and you feel defeated. This message is for somebody. Maybe you're in here and you feel defeated. You feel tired. You feel weary. You have pushed and pushed and pushed, and now you feel yourself beginning to compromise. Sure, you're still coming to church. Sure, to the outside world, you look like you're still facing Jesus, but you're beginning to be pushed back. You begin to feel yourself compromising. You begin to feel yourself making excuses. Let me tell you something. Jesus is here this morning. He wants to give you a fresh anointing. He wants to empower you to live a triumphant life. Like I said earlier, I'm not talking about riches and fame. I'm not talking about that tomorrow you may not get a bad doctor's report. I'm talking about He's going to give you this power to live over and triumph over the darkness and the sin and the evil that's in our world. He will empower you. So if you're standing, if you're in here tonight, and you feel like you're fighting and you're fighting and you're fighting, but your allegiance to your captain is beginning to fail. Your allegiance to your captain is beginning to fall short. The world is starting to cause you to compromise. He's wanting you to make a new commitment to Him this morning. He's wanting you to rededicate, to get that fire back, to begin to fight. The only way you lose the battle, the only way that we don't endure to the end is when we quit. It's when we compromise. So this morning, if you're here, if the worship team will come, this morning, if you're here, we're going to get into the altars and pray. This is for somebody, and you say, I am so weary, I am so tired. I am so frustrated. I'm so bent out of shape. The world is pushing me. This life is wearing on me, and I want my fire back. I want to keep fighting. I don't want to quit. I don't want to compromise. If that's you this morning, I'm going to ask you at this time to step out. The Holy Spirit is calling on somebody right now. Step out if that's you this morning. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Lord, Father. If you're here this morning and you say, I want to make sure that I keep fighting that fight. I want to make sure that I keep pushing through that battle. I want to make sure that I don't compromise, that I don't give up, that I don't let the world, I don't let sin, I don't let the enemy sneak in, that I still have the strength and the ability to resist Him through the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. I want to not only grip onto that grace, but I want to let it empower me. If you're here this morning, that could be all of us, guys. And we want to. If you're here, you say, I want to make sure that I keep fighting. I want to make sure that I keep pushing. If that's you, please find somewhere to pray.